Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, get ready for more fines, Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
What are you trying to say?
James Harrison, incapable of playing a game without getting fined, it seems, is back.
Well, at least he knows the system, and they already have his name for the back of the jersey.
And Steeler fans are like, no, no, James is clean. He's clean, I'm telling you, he's clean. He's just misunderstood. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland have served the Valley, I believe what now, for 51 years. They've served the Valley. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Privileged to be here as always. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now, I drive a 2012 Ford Escape, proudly, enjoy it very, very much. Kevin, they put you in a 2015? Is that what they have you in?
Yeah, 2015 Ford Escape Titanium Edition. So the nice thing about the Titanium Edition, it has the towing package on it, so you can tow well over 3,500 pounds, which is easily a boat, maybe even a small camper as well. And you have all-wheel drive, so it automatically will take care of itself. And actually, I should say, will automatically take care of itself in all-wheel drive should you start slipping, which is nice. And that means you don't have to switch anything in the vehicle. You don't have to press any buttons. It just thinks for you. And I love vehicles that think for me.
Does this also have the where you take your foot and you go open the tailgate?
It does. It does. Yeah. I've messed around with that. That's pretty fun.
Very convenient when you're carrying packages. Not only that, but the Ford Escape. Mine looks more, because it's the 2012, more like a park truck SUV look. The 2015 is the sleek aerodynamic design.
Yeah, it's a little more sporty, and that's the nice thing. You can have more room in it, have the all-wheel drive. You know, you'll have all the safety features of all-wheel drive. The extra space, extra storage compartments as well in the floor, which cover right up. That's really kind of neat there, too. And it's sporty enough that it doesn't feel like you're sacrificing anything. And with the EcoBoost engine, that four-cylinder seems like a six.
So go to Sunbury Motors, ask them about the car that Kevin drives. This week, the 2015 Ford Escape, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today, we're going to talk to Jeff Hartman from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We'll talk about the James Harrison signing, the savior of the Pittsburgh defense, being signed this week.
Well, let's face it. They need somebody that can step in immediately. What are you whistling?
If you want, we can play the theme to Chariots of Fire. That's how he plays now.
Well, listen, you need somebody that can step in immediately. Name somebody else that can step into that defense immediately.
Somebody in the practice squad.
Don't give up your day job.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I saw that and went, what the heck are they thinking? But all right,
they already have his name for a back of a jersey. They don't have to print anything new. I mean, it's kind of convenient that way.
I actually want somebody who can play. All right, but yeah, that's your choice, your team, whatever. All right, sure there were some young legs somewhere that they could have picked up, but that's all right.
It takes 2 years minimum to learn that defensive system of Dick LeBeau.
Okay, let's go man coverage. He goes there, I go there. Done. Okay. Got it.
I don't think it's quite that simple.
How long did that take?
I don't think it's quite that simple.
Here's the quarterback. Chase him. Got it.
Okay, now that's simple. Yes, that part of the defense is simple. Yes.
All right. If the ball is over there, uh-huh. I go over there.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
Oh, brother.
So it's like
you're just a James Harrison hater. That's all.
No, he's look. He is. Do you watch what he did in Cincinnati the last 2 years? Okay, he's a non-contributor.
That's because that defense didn't fit his style.
Oh, typical Steeler lament. Look, if you got ability and can play, you can play. If you're past your prime, you're done.
It's only 1 year. He's got one more year.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're saying about all your...
He's got... All right. That I have to give you. I have said that a lot. He's got one more good year. I know
he's
it.
He's got one more good
Heinz
year.
Heinz Ward's got one more good year. I know it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the toughest thing for an organization to do is to make the determination on when to cut bait. Okay? That's the toughest thing that they have to do. You're trying to manage a salary cap, and you also have to sit there and you have to manage careers. And one of the toughest things you have to do is to look at somebody and say, you know what? You might have one more good year left in you, but we got to make the move now. And that is a tough thing for any organization to do. Very tough. And in the James Harrison case, they did the right thing. Now they decided to make a mistake. All right, that's fine.
I mean, you know, Shazier's out. I'm not sure what's left in the linebacker core.
Young legs that were cut across the league that, if you look at tape, could probably fill in and play.
Yeah, but can they fill in that defense? See, that's the thing. I think that a lot of people forget. This is not an easy defense to learn, especially for the linebackers.
Kevin.
Okay. Steven.
That defense gave up 24 points in the second half to Cleveland. Got shoved around by Baltimore, and Cam Newton has no mobility, and D'Angelo Williams was out. Okay, I don't care how complicated it is; it is also based on talent. All right.
So in other words, James Harrison coming in shouldn't be a problem.
He fits right in with the rest of them.
That's exactly right. It shouldn't be an issue.
I know it. I'm just a step too slow to play it. All right.
I know exactly what I'm doing. I just can't get there.
I can't get there. I'm old.
That is the one problem, though, with this signing. And I said this today to somebody. He's already taken a defense that isn't sure whether it's...
You said it to Sean Carey.
Yes.
Just admit it.
Who's, by the way, wearing his James Harrison jersey today.
Oh, brother. He also pushed five people out of the way at the commissary.
But what I said was it already takes a defense that isn't sure whether it's getting younger or getting older and now really waters down the issue.
Yes. All right, you know, today on the show, we're going to have Jeff Hartman, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, to talk about said signing. And Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice at Northwestern. Brandon Gowton's going to join us today, too, correct?
That is correct. We'll talk Eagles football today as well.
A little Beagle ball. We'll talk about 3-0 football team. Yeah. 3-0 team.
That's great. I'm happy for Eagles fans. I am. I have a lot of friends who are Eagles fans.
Well,
whether they call themselves friends of mine or not, it's a different story, but
let's go with the acquaintance route. It's safer. It's like having the nameplate already ready in Pittsburgh for Harrison. And you want to know the remarkable thing about the Eagles? They've been banged up in the offensive line, and they still are putting it. And Nick Foles is not playing at the same level he was last year. Yet they're still putting up points, making plays. Big thing is, how is LeSean McCoy? The Sproles signing was brilliant. One of the better signings in the league.
And by the way, Brandon is coming up in about 10 minutes.
Yes, 10 minutes. And then we'll give you some Steeler football, and then we'll close out with Northwestern football. So we're going to do another all-football day today. We would talk about baseball, but What's there to talk about? I mean,
didn't somebody get eliminated last night from the playoffs?
Doesn't matter.
I thought this extra wild card was supposed to make things more exciting.
Well, this tells you what the state, the problem with baseball right now is that in the 162 game schedule, September gets lost in the wash. When it's supposed to be the most, it's supposed to be the most exciting time. September, the tee up, October, and it's football, 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 football. Now, football's had its issues. Obviously, Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Ray McDonald, Greg Hardy, Jameis Winston. Right, but football has all the headlines, all of them. Baseball has. Is having a great year. Clayton Kershaw is having a phenomenal year. Giancarlo Stanton, before he got hurt, was having a great year. Andrew McCutcheon's having another great year. Josh Harrison's having a fabulous year. The Cardinals look really, really good. Mike Trout, you know, the Angels are not only going to make the playoffs, they might be the number one seed going in. And Mike Trout gets to play October baseball and all of his brilliance. Robinson Cano, along with Felix Hernandez, have made the Mariners better, and they're right in the mix. And Kansas City has a chance to make it for the first time. And the Orioles and Nationals have both had fabulous seasons. And now the Nationals are going to get Steven Strasburg available in the playoffs. They clinched a long time ago. The Orioles have had a fabulous year, and nobody's talking about it.
I know, Steve. Nobody. It was Atlanta. Atlanta's the one that got eliminated from the playoffs just recently with their four-game losing streak. And Philadelphia, right. Chicago, Colorado, and Arizona have all been eliminated from next year's playoffs.
Well, that's just you being bitter.
Yes.
That's not true.
It's not true, but it feels like it already.
Colorado's eligible. The other ones aren't.
All right, by the way, there will be no team in Major League Baseball that will lose 100 games this year as well.
All right. Well, but again, that is not the story. Bob, hi.
Hey,
and,
Steve.
And Buter's Pirates are 8-2 in their last 10.
And they've played 3 one-run games in a row, which hasn't happened since 1917. And the good news is they won 2 out of 3.
And thank you so much for your Pirates to eliminate the Braves. That actually made the season almost bearable for me.
Pirates are playing well. Very well.
They are. They're playing very well. Didn't, you know, again, they got the one run from McCutcheon on the home run last night. Somebody brought up to me today about McCutcheon being the MVP again. And I said, you know, I said, now, at this point, you're parsing, okay? So I hope everyone understands that. You're trying to pick out a singular MVP. My vote would go to Clayton Kershaw. Yes, I do believe pitchers can win the MVP. I think if you're the most dominant player of the year, you're the MVP.
You can't argue with that choice, but he does get then the Cy Young as well.
Right, but that's fine. You get two awards, you get two awards. I mean, just like Jameis Winston can win the Heisman, he can win the Davey O'Brien Award. What's the difference? When you look at McCutcheon, the one area I would say that in terms of parsing, I would like my MVP to have more than 76 RBIs. 311 is great. 24 home runs, fine. Defense, great. I still would like my MVP to have more than 76 RBIs if I'm choosing a hitter.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory Peoria Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, Auto, Home, Life, Business Insurance. If service or price means something to you, it means everything to them at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. 51 years of serving the Valley. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The Eagles are one of the three teams off to a 3-0 start. And we're joined by Brandon Gauton, who is the from BleedingGreen.com. Brandon, great to have you back.
Hey, glad to be back.
Well, let's get to a couple of issues. A, how are they saying LeSean McCoy is, and what about the injuries in the offensive line?
Well, I don't think there are any issues with LeSean McCoy. The reports today have shown that he was at practice. He wasn't missing any time. But he obviously didn't look good in the game on Sunday when he did return from that head injury. So that kind of is something that to keep an eye on. As far as the offensive line goes, starting center Jason Kelsey is expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks. He had successful surgery on a sports hernia this morning on Tuesday. And what they're doing for now is they have Jason Peters at left tackle. They inserted Matt Tobin, who is a second-year player who is returning from a high ankle injury, at left guard. David Mulk is the backup center. He's going to be starting in place of Kelsey. You have Todd Herrmann's moved from right guard to right tackle, and now you have Dennis Kelly, who was at left guard, now at right guard. So they kind of have this makeshift offensive line going, but it's probably the best group of guys they have at this point.
Right. Can you discuss what Darren Sproles has meant to this Eagle offense and even to LeSean McCoy?
He's been huge. I mean, The Eagles gave up a fifth for Sproles in the offseason, and some people thought, you know, well, why didn't you just wait till he got cut? And I think, you know, you've seen why, is because other teams probably had interest in him too, and they needed to give something up to get him. And maybe the Saints are kicking themselves for letting him go, because he's been very productive in Philadelphia. Didn't have a big game against the Redskins, but neither did McCoy. Couldn't really get the run game going, and Sproles had a fumble. But in the first 2 weeks, he's just been huge. In his first game as an Eagle, he broke his career long for a touchdown run, 49 yards. He broke career high in receiving yards in week two. So he's been huge, and especially because of the fact that McCoy hasn't really been able to get going in the run game. You know, now you have Sproles, who you bring in for about 30% of the team's offensive snaps, and he comes in and he makes plays, and that really takes the burden off of LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, Brandon, let's we're with Brandon Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com. Brandon, let's get to Nick Foles. Nick Foles was so careful with the football last year. We go back to the initial preseason game. He threw two interceptions in the first quarter. How would you evaluate where he is right now in all this? They're 3-0 and they're scoring points, but how is he?
The first 2 weeks were rough. I mean, he didn't really look as good as the numbers may have indicated. I mean, he had the turnover issues, but he was just missing open plays. He was leaving plays on the field. He had wide receivers running open. He wasn't seeing them, or if he was, he was throwing a ball that just wasn't crisp. It was inaccurate. You know, he really just looked shaky in those first 2 weeks, and that's totally not what you saw in week 3 against the Redskins. You saw a guy that looked confident. You know, he stepped up in the pocket. He made tough throws. He was accurate. He really took a beating, too. You could tell at certain points he just wasn't 100%. He wasn't injured enough to leave the game, but he just looked banged up, and he really toughed through it. He especially took a tough hit when Redskins defender Chris Baker kind of laid a cheap shot on him after that. What was called an interception, but it ultimately just ended up being an incompletion, had been returned by Washington, and Baker laid a huge hit on him, and you know he was down on the ground for quite a bit, but eventually he got up and led the Eagles to a touchdown drive there. So you know you have to be happy with him if you're the Eagles at this point, because you know he really bounced back in week 3.
What is the return of Jeremy Maclin meant?
I mean, you look in the first 2 weeks, and you know Macklin's kind of quiet. He had a big touchdown catch against the Jaguars. But that was more of a blown coverage on their part. He was just wide open. No one was even around him. Week 2 didn't look so hot. I think he had a few drops or so. He did have a touchdown catch, but he really didn't look as good as he needed to look, like a number one wide receiver. And week 3, that just changed completely. I mean, he was out there making plays. He had a touchdown. He had another touchdown on a big screen play that was called off because Jason Kelce had a block from the back penalty, and he really didn't even need to make that play. I mean, Maclin was gone anyway, probably. So, I mean, you look at what Macklin's been able to do, and he looks like a legitimate number one wide receiver. And, you know, funny enough, he really outperformed DeSean Jackson in week 3.
How would you evaluate the Eagles' defense so far?
So far, you know, it hasn't been good enough. I mean, you look in the first week, and they only held the Jaguars to 17 points, and part of that was, you know, the offense turned the ball over and gave Jacksonville good field position. But then week 2, you know, they go out against the Colts, and they give up a number of points. And then, you know, against the Redskins, against the backup, and Kirk Cousins, who looked good, and, you know, nothing not to take away from him. You know, he is a backup quarterback. And they made him look really good, and they couldn't get any pass rush at all. It's been 2 straight weeks with the Eagles not recording a sack, and just the pass coverage outside of Malcolm Jenkins, who the team brought in free agency. And you look at Nate Allen and Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher, they're just giving up way too many catches and just giving up way too many yards. So between the pass defense and the pass rush, It's just really a rough time for the Eagles right now.
Not the Kerry Williams comments.
Yeah, after the game on Sunday, Williams basically complained that the Eagles are pushing their players too hard. You know, Chip Kelly, unlike most teams, they give their players the day off on Monday, where most teams give the day off on Tuesday. Williams has spoken out about that before. He doesn't really like that. You know, this was a whole new level. Williams was complaining, you know, that part of the reason why they came out slow and he struggled in the first half is because he just wasn't ready to play because of how hard they pushed the players. And he said that he's not the only one who felt that way, that there were other teammates too. But, you know, he said he was just the only player that was man enough to say it. Well, today it turns out that Williams at practice said he apologized for the comments, said he honestly felt that way. It's not like he didn't feel like he did, but he felt like it was something that he shouldn't have brought up to the media. It's something that he should have talked to the team about and addressed with them.
Okay. The 49ers are next. They're 1-2, and it has not been the start that Jim Harbaugh would have hoped for. So give me a rundown on this as to what are some of the keys. It's going to be at Levi's Stadium. It's the 4:25 game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one because, you know, you look at this game coming into the season before the season starts, and it looks like a tough one. You know, the Niners are coming off a good season. They went to the NFC Championship game and lost. You know, they've been good for a while now. They have a bunch of talented players. But then you look at the offseason that San Francisco had. You know, a number of players were getting in trouble. Alden Smith is suspended. I mean, they just did not have a really good offseason. And now, you know, maybe it's their regression, or maybe they're falling off. Maybe that's taken place earlier than expected. You know, I think a lot of people kind of have been keeping an eye on them and feeling like, you know, they might take a step back because of those offseason issues. And I think that might be what's happening here. I mean, they lost to the Bears after having a lead in their new stadium at home. I mean, that's a bad loss. And then they go on the road in Arizona, and that's a tough place to play. But they you know, it's Drew Stanton, and he's a backup, and they couldn't beat him. So, you know, it's not looking good for San Francisco right now. But then again, you know, they are 1-2. Harbaugh is going to be desperate to get that win at home, especially because it'll be their first win at that new stadium at home. So I don't expect it to be easy for the Eagles.
I also think the loss of Navarro Bowman has been very big for them in terms of being a guy that can change the tone on defense, especially in combination with Patrick Willis.
Right, yeah, they're missing a number of guys on defense that are just, you know, really key. And that's what the 49ers have been. They're a team known for their defense, and when you're missing these players, you know, you're losing your strength of your identity.
All right, so now let's get the special teams part. For a long time, special teams for the Eagles, David Akers, and he'd go out and he was virtually automatic. How do you feel now when you watch the Eagles on special teams? Because no David Akers, long since gone, obviously, and DeSean Jackson, now gone. So what do you think the Eagles are special teams-wise right now under Chip?
I think they're definitely improved from last year because, you know, you had Alex Henry as the kicker, and he was not reliable. The team did not really trust him from long range. Sometimes they wouldn't even let him attempt long range kicks. You bring in this rookie kicker, Cody Parkey, and he's been solid. I mean, he's hitting deep kicks from 50 yards plus. And even on touchbacks, you know, that's an area where Henry struggled with his leg strength as well. You know, he only kicked about 40% on for a touchback percentage last year. Parkey, through three games, is around 66%, I believe. He has 14 touchbacks on 21 kickoffs. So, you know, just the kicker is an upgrade alone. And then you look at the coverage, and a lot of the same guys are back, but they also added two guys in the offseason, Chris Maragos and Brian Brayman. Seems they're playing pretty well. Ricky Trey Burton is good on coverage. And as a punt returner, as far as punt return goes, you had DeSean Jackson, but with him, it was really feast or famine because sometimes he's going to backpedal, try to make the big play, and sometimes that means negative yards. But Sproles, he's more of a, you know, just no nonsense, get the ball, take off, get positive yards. Maybe that doesn't always lead to the big play, but, you know, he's going to get solid gains from time to time. And then even in the kick return game, I mean, believe it or not, the Eagles had their first return ever for a touchdown by Chris Polk, 102 yards at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday. I mean, that was the first time ever that that's happened in that stadium. And it's been open since, you know, for over 10 years now. So, right. So funny how that finally happens. But they're definitely improved all around.
They're 3-0. In the NFL, style points mean nothing. It's just results. They're 3-0. Yet they have been able to get off the slow starts and have been able to get it in gear and then win. What's contributed to the slow starts, Brandon? Because obviously it's a good enough football team to eventually end the game with more points anyway.
Yeah, that's a good question, because if you ask Kerry Williams, he would say because they're pushing the players too hard. But I don't know if that's quite the thing. I think, you know, it's a lot of missed execution in the first half of these games. I mean, you have, like I said earlier, with Nick Foles, you know, maybe he's not seeing the open wide receiver, or, you know, and against the Colts, they were getting into the red zone, but they just couldn't punch it in, and they're taking field goals instead. I mean, it's really about, I guess, just missing opportunities here. And the run game, I'm sure that's a huge part of it. You know, they have this backup offensive line, and they're not really creating holes for LeSean McCoy. So, you know, you're almost relying solely on the pass game to get things going. I mean, if you can get that run game going earlier, I mean, I'm sure that'll help a lot towards really improving these first half performances.
Well, Brandon Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com, an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we'll come back, talk about an interesting situation on how to get tickets in Michigan as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, let's get to something that's very interesting at Michigan right now. We know that student attendance at Michigan is considerably down, and the 2-2 start hasn't helped either, obviously. Now, according to almost any survey you do, they had 21,000 student tickets back in 2012. They sold about 14,000 this year. So they're 7,000 short. Team's off to a 2-2 start. They have a game with Minnesota for the Little Brown Jug coming up in 5 days. So this is what Michigan has decided to do. At the U-Go convenience store on campus, students were given 2 free tickets to Saturday's game if they purchased 2 bottles of Coca-Cola.
Man.
Wait. You're going to buy 2 buck and a half, buck 70 bottles of soda, and you're going to get how many tickets?
2.
Yeah. You know, they were just claiming last week that the game that they just had, it was their 247th consecutive sellout or some silly thing like that. And I remembered what you said, Steve, about the student tickets. And I'm thinking, there's about 7,000 students cleverly disguised as empty seats in the big house. So.
Right.
And now it's going to be called the Big Hoax.
Yeah.
Well. At U-Go convenience stores on campus, students were given 2 free tickets to Saturday's game against Minnesota with the purchase of 2 bottles of Coca-Cola. All right.
And fortunately for Michigan...
And by the way, that was any Coca-Cola product. So, you know, that's how they did it. And evidently, the word got around quickly. And when it did, it turned out, I guess, the... they've been giving the tickets away, and people have been taking them.
I thought you were going to say Pepsi sales went up.
and they were able to sell 40 bottles of Diet Coke, and they got 80 tickets given away. Yeah, they're not happy now, in the Wolverine land, are they?
But Michigan's athletic department says the Coca-Cola promotion was never received approval and should not have run.
Oops.
And they were pulling it immediately. And then they said that all purchases made so far through the promotion will be honored, according to Michigan, at the Coca-Cola gate. I mean, what a mess.
Oh, man. So they gave away the tickets, but they really weren't supposed to give away the tickets. So they're going to let those tickets go that they've already given away. And if you just found out about it, well, yeah. Thanks for playing.
Maybe they got it backwards.
But you can't take tickets back from people that already have them through the promotion. You can't do that. I mean, you're always the odd man out on this show.
Oh, no, I don't think you should. No. I wasn't insinuating that at all.
I feel like I'm working with Dr. Evil.
No.
Are you sitting there
$1 million?
Are you? prices have changed. $1 billion. Now you're talking. But that's what they were doing. So what they never received approval for the promotion.
So
they started it. I don't know.
Who sent him the tickets?
This is a mess.
Yeah. I mean, did somebody just, did they just happen to walk out of the athletic department ticket office and make their way to the convenience store? Or did somebody actually deliver them? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I think somebody was embarrassed.
Yeah, but I wonder if somebody came up with the idea to do this, did it, thinking it was approved, and it turned out it wasn't approved, especially when the news got out they were giving away free tickets.
Job gone.
My sense is that it was approved until the president read about it or heard about it, and it got walked back, and then everybody had deniability. That'd be my take.
Could be. I don't know. This is...
Can you see that? The president calling the athletic director going, "You did what for Coca-Cola? Huh?"
Jason on Facebook says, "Michigan's Minnesota's game now for the little brown 2-liter."
That's
Jason's right on.
That's a good line. I like that. That's a good line. Yeah. I like that.
And he goes with the French spelling of leader, by the way, which is even better.
Well... It's going to be very fascinating Saturday's game then. You'll know the Coca-Cola section of the student body. They're the guys with the 2 liters.
Yes, indeed. Well done. Well,
two bottles for two tickets. Oh, boy.
What it was supposed to be, if you bought the ticket, you got the 2-liter soda. That's the way
it was. I think it was a typo. That's exactly what it was. It was a typo. It was supposed to be 2 tickets, and you get a 2-liter, not a 2-liter for 2 tickets.
Exactly.
Oh. We've solved it.
Yes, the mystery's over.
I don't think we've solved anything, but...
For a bag of chips, you get the tailgate.
We haven't solved anything, which has been the hallmark of this show for 3 years.
Exactly.
Hey, we're consistent.
Yeah, we're not in the problem, the business of solving anybody's problems, even our own.
Okay, Jeff Hartman to talk about the Steelers and the signing of Mean Joe Green.
That's awesome.
They're bringing back Ernie Fats Holmes as nose guard.
And Jack Lambert. They needed linebackers. Lambert said, "I'm in."
Another Kent State grad.